present. We're on the air. Everyone is advised that an audio recording will be made of the council meeting and that will be available on the website. Is any elected member at this point foreshadowing a conflict of interest? Councillor Pfeiffer?
Your Worship, as we've done in the past, there's a few of us whose properties could potentially have change of zone there. We did go through the rigmarole at that last council meeting where I think almost all of us shoved our hands
almost
up.
Almost all of us would have our hands up. So there is an exemption where exclusion of people for conflict of interest would mean there's no quorum. So I think that's relevant. I'll ask the governance manager if she has anything to add. So I think that satisfies the point. Unless anyone has anything else more specific, we can move on. So there's one item of business that's to deal with the Housing Diversity DPA. Perhaps I'll kick off with the introduction, although it's fairly evident from the papers what we're about, and then Ms. Dixon and Ms. Hardy might have something to add. So this obviously is the culmination of the Urban Planning Committee and predecessor work over the last couple of years. The Minister wrote to us just a week or two ago saying that, yes, you can do it. Statement of intent is fine, but get it to me by 1st of December. Now, while there might be some wriggle room with that, we can't assume that, so we're up against an intensely difficult time constraint. I would like to stress that by just going to pages 6 and 7 of your agenda right at the start, and I know that staff will add to this, but members will note at the top of page 7 there are certain mandatory things with the community consultation which has to run for 8 weeks. Now, in discussions with staff yesterday, with Mr. Katnar and Ms. Dixon, we were talking about a community consultation date of 18th of September, whatever that Monday is. And there you have the mandatory minimum requirements. Notice in the Gazette, Messenger, Advertiser, and community information sessions, at least one. I also spoke with Mr. Clark, who suggested that perhaps three might be good, the north, south and centre of the city, but that's detail that can be worked out later. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, and I'm working backwards here, but if you look on page 6, getting the documentation ready, checking stormwater, yield analysis and so on and so forth. Now, everything in that list can be done concurrently pretty well once we've decided what actually is the final version we want to put to the public. So that's why we're here tonight, to as much as possible settle that, and then it's intended that probably on 11th or 12th of September there'd be another special general meeting, but by that stage it should be staff take away tonight's consideration, put it in one document, and it should be done. So tonight's the important kind of deliberation, and one would hope that it's almost rubber stamping next time it comes before the council. The other thing to point out is that council, at the last general council meeting, we resolved to adopt, I can call it Councillor Pryor's version, of a map of zones for the city. So just to take you back to that, not everyone was at that meeting, but the Urban Planning Committee had a map with a series of zones. Just before the committee meeting, staff recommended something that was a departure from that. So Councillor Pryor, in a sense, went the other way and recommended a plan, a map with the zones, which more truly reflected the intent, certainly Councillor Pryor's intent, but also the intent of the Urban Planning Committee, at least a majority of it, over a period of time. And Council resolved that the Councillor Pryor map would be the basis for the DPA. So if we go through this tonight and we think, oh, no, we should have much more development, subdivision, etc., then we could rescind that motion. Otherwise, we can take decisions in accordance with it. And we may finish this tonight, we may not. But we need to go through it so everyone understands what the implications are. I think that's probably it from me in terms of an intro. Over to Ms. Dixon first.
Through the chair, so we thought what we'd do is just go through a very brief background, just to give some information of where we're at, the challenges. We really want to explain the challenges of the timeframe, so we enter into this with clear understanding of what's involved and the risks with not meeting the deadlines as well. So just a bit of background. I think we would want to acknowledge there's been fantastic work that's occurred at the Urban Planning Committee between staff and elected members and working through all the policy areas, and it's a complex topic. We always knew the timelines were extremely tight, and we were aiming for around January to deliver it, acknowledging that usually with this size of DPA it would take a good 12 to 18 months. So we've talked to other councils and that's the period that takes to go through there. So we knew the challenge was huge. We then also got in the, I think it was the 4th of August, we got the Minister approval around the Statement of Intent, and in that letter we also had an indication that the Minister was wanting DPAs to be completed by the 1st of December, so that timeline was even made shorter and more challenging. Do acknowledge that originally and in the middle of this year we were trying to get to the 22nd of August Council meeting to finalise the DPA, but I think we need to acknowledge there's been quite a lot of analysis that needs to have occurred in the last 2 months. Around DIPTI asked us to do more analysis around the Marion Road corridor and the urban density around that space. There was further work done on Oakland State Marion Historic Village and also the analysis that we've been doing with the Marion Plains policy as well. And just at the last Urban Planning Committee, we did the analysis around the southern policy. So we're moving and we're putting a lot of resources in there, and I suppose what we've been doing is we've engaged an external consultant to actually bring the DPA together, and they will be aiming to do that within a 4-week period, which is again a tight period. We've engaged external consultants to develop the maps. We're working with DIPTI staff to do the yield analysis as well. We've also increased the staffing in the area, and usually it's a one FTE policy, so we've got two in there as well. When we go out to the DPA, we are being realistic that it will be the bare minimum, so to ensure that we get it out to the community as soon as possible, but also ensuring that it's got the information that the community need to have in front of them to consider the DPA, so what it means for their neighbourhoods. And we're continuing to work with DIPTI as well. And the advice that we've got from DIPTI recently, because obviously we rang them when we got the 1st of December timeframes, and their advice is to keep moving with it and get it out for consultation as well. But there's no guarantee if we don't meet the first whether the Minister will or will not consider the DPA. So we just want council to be aware of those challenges. Probably the timelines in your report, probably this timeline that staff have developed just explains where we are. So if you look at the 4th of August, we got the ministerial approval. What we're aiming for is at that in September, so the 11th or the 12th of September, that we'll bring the DPA for council's consideration. Then we go out to public consultation, so that's that eight-week period, and then we've got the 1st of December deadline that has been communicated as well. After that, I think that...
So what we're contemplating Monday if we find that everything is looking good in a week's time or after this meeting, then probably a short meeting like 6 p.m. on the 12th would be sufficient because, as I said, it should be rubber stamped, and also the tender for Edwardstown. But if design issues have been completely resolved, that also should be routine. If for some reason there's still, you know, if staff come back at the end of August and say, hey, we've got a whole new set of proposals, we can't do what you want, and muddy the waters again, then we might need to make it the Monday to have an extensive discussion and finally nail it down. So that's why I'm saying 11th or 12th.
So we've got public consultation and received that feedback from the community and also the agencies, and then when that's finalised and we've made the required amendments to the DPA, we hold a public meeting. So in this timeline, that would occur around the December to January period.
Now, I do have a question on that point. This public meeting, we've already had, like, the public information sessions. So that public meeting, is that a mandatory thing? And if so, can it be held during the consultation period? Is that a council meeting or, you know, like a town hall meeting?
Through the chair, I believe it's just a public meeting. It can't be held during the consultation period because if we receive submissions, that person must notify whether they wish to be heard or not. So most councils would hold that public meeting shortly after the consultation period.
So, for example, the next general council meeting or something after the end of the consultation period, we should be able to do that.
That's correct. So I guess to liken it to a process that the members may be more familiar with, similar to a development application process where a person is notified, they have an opportunity to submit a representation. Likewise with the DPA, they have an opportunity to submit comments and then express whether or not they wish to be heard at the public meeting. Once the consultation period is closed, we then hear those persons who have made submissions that wish to make a verbal representation to council, and then that is collated and included in council's final recommendation to the minister.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the timeline. I would take it as indicative because that figure of 12 weeks is actually just as long as it takes to prepare the documentation, isn't it, following the public meeting.
Yes.
Might be 12 hours, might be 12 days, might be 12 weeks, or never. So thank you for that.
And I think that... for revision, then that can, you know, extend the time period. So we just really wanted council to be aware of that.
Question from Councillor Hull.
I'll direct the question to Mr Kavanagh, and it's nice to have a Mr Kavanagh back in the council ranks. We had one before.
I think it's a Kavanagh.
Sorry?
Not Kavanagh.
Oh,
Kavanagh.
Kavanagh. Oh, I apologise.
But it's the next... I won't say it's the next best thing. No, this is the improved version.
Mr. Mayor, the question I have for the new manager and the staff alike is, will they actually understand that the intent, the commander's intent, I'll go back to that point again, is what we've agreed on and not what DIPTI want? Can we actually reach an understanding on that, that this is the council's decision, we won't be intimidated or dictated to by DIPTI?
Mr. Kavanagh.
Through His Worship, it's the perennial question for all elected bodies across metropolitan Adelaide. We've got the 30-year plan for Greater Metro Adelaide, which the state government sets as targets for growth, etc. But the local councils are responsible for building the policy document which shapes that urban environment. Ultimately, it's you as the elected members who will decide how strategically we will do what the City of Marion needs to do to achieve and fit within that state government plan for Greater Metropolitan Adelaide. As you'll see in the presentation in a few moments, there are three options. One which was the map that was agreed on at the previous resolution, one which is a suggested DPA mapping from the Urban Planning Committee, and the third is from staff. The choice is really up to the elected members. The staff will do the work on whatever option is chosen. You have before you three recommendations, but certainly whatever option the elected body choose, the staff will do their very best to put that out to the community, seek that community feedback, and then pitch that to the minister and say that this is what the elected body have decided upon, and this is why we think this is the direction the City of Marion needs to be heading in terms of its urban densities.
Mr. Kavanagh, two questions that flow from that. One is just to confirm that the current resolution or the Councillor Prior map, to call it that, is of a certain density. The Urban Planning Committee map is of a greater density of housing, especially in the north I'm talking about, and the staff version is an even greater density.
That is correct, yes.
And the second question is, Mr. Kavanagh, you're new to the job, but have you picked up that over the last couple of years, members have been talking about decreasing density, at least in the middle of suburbs?
Through Your Worship, it is, from my experience in local government, it is a challenge that has been faced, and it is being met with quite a bit of resistance from communities that have been established for a number of years, and we're going through that gentrification period where housing stock has aged and there are opportunities now, particularly people of the baby boomer age bracket, where they can seek to capitalise on their properties, and there is some resistance and people looking to take advantage of the 30-year plan. So it's a really important moment for Adelaide, Metro Adelaide.
And indeed for Marion. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to add to that context that you just provided there, in that looking at the maps solely by themselves is not giving you the full picture. You need to look at the document that's been tabled, which is the minimum side areas and your frontages, to go alongside this. So when we talk about the prior amendment, we talk about the Urban Planning Committee map, and we talk about the staff recommendation, I would actually say the Urban Planning Committee is resulting in a greater density than what even the staff recommendation is putting forward. Because if you look at your maps alone, you can see there's more regen available in the Urban Planning Committee's recommendation than there was the staff's or even Councillor Price. However, sitting behind all of this is this table, effectively. And across all three of these, this table is remaining the same.
So, Councillor Hutchinson, you have a different assessment from Mr. Kavanagh on that technical point, do you?
I guess I do.
Okay, thank you for your contribution. Councillor Guy?
Yes, Your Worship. Just wanting to get some interpretation of the second last paragraph of the Minister for Planning's letter on page 11 of the agenda. It reads, in any event, if the DPA is not submitted by the 1st of December 2017, the Department may seek to use the code, being the Planning and Design Code, to resolve the outcomes being sought through the DPA. I just find that a little bit grey as to what it means.
Yes.
Does it mean that the minister is likely to assist us in what he thinks we're driving at in outcome, or something else?
I'd really appreciate Mr. Katnar's answer, but the context is that we're coming to the end of an era in planning, changes to assessment plans, so that they'll be more centralised. So what we're doing now, we won't be able to do in the future if we miss the boat. But we can strive to achieve the same goals, but it'll be handled in a different way. Now, that's my layman's explanation, but please, I'm sure you can improve on that, Mr. Katnar.
Through His Worship, it's quite well put. We are going through quite a reform in the planning profession. Currently, there are 72 development plans across South Australia, 68 metro and 4 regional development plans. What the state government is looking to do is condense those 72 volumes into one complete volume. Now, the current DPA process, as we know it, this is pretty much the last round. The state government is in the early stages of developing the planning design code. They have been actively seeking engagement from local councils to assist in developing the design code. So, I guess, more simply, this is the last time that we'll be experiencing a development plan process as we know it. There will be ways to adapt and change policies in the planning design code, but it will go through a different process. What that process is, we don't precisely know at this moment in time, other than there will be opportunities to do so.
Thank you. Another question, Councillor Garton?
Yes, just following on, Your Worship. So does that leave us with sort of an ominous situation if we don't get our DPA in by request in by the 1st of December, or is it likely that there'll be room for negotiation in the future with the Minister?
So this is the last bus in terms of this process, but if we wait until tomorrow, there might be another bus, but we're not sure. Mr. Katnar?
Again, put quite well from His Worship. Last opportunity now with this DPA in the current process. There will be opportunities in future. DIPT seem to be quite engaging in working collaboratively with councils, but how the future engagement and process will actually be undertaken, I'm not entirely certain at this point in time. So what level of involvement council as an elected body will have to shape the residential densities, I'm not able to provide an answer with absolute confidence.
Now, a couple more questions. I do want to go back to Councillor Hutchinson, but I'll take Councillor Westwood first.
Oh, we're all on here. Okay. yes, so after the change of process or system, are our current plans then going to be fairly open for the Minister or DIPT to change? You know, how concrete is that?
Through His Worship, conversations I've had with DIPT staff is, again, about the early stages and implementation of the planning design code, so they're still trying to figure out how they're actually going to write it. The conversations I've had are centred around current development plans are actually pretty good. There's plenty of stuff that we will borrow and convert over the planning design code. I guess the key improvements, in DIPT's words, that they're looking to achieve is instead of having a whole bunch of different residential zones and a whole suite of different policy areas across 72 different councils, is having a library whereby you have a residential zone, and then instead of having 100 or thousands of policy areas, you may have residential policy area 1. And residential policy area 1 in the city of Marion would be the same as residential policy area in the city of Salisbury. So that if you are doing developments in different areas, there's a consistency across the board about what can be achieved.
So, Mr. Katnar, given the rewriting of the process centrally that's yet to be worked out, if we miss this bus, is it a fair comment to say there won't be another bus this council term? for us, in other words, the next 12 months.
I think that's absolutely correct.
Now, I want to come back to Councillor Hutchinson, then Councillor Pryor, then Councillor Pfeiffer, but I do want to reinforce that Councillor Hutchinson's quite correct that tonight is about looking at two things in conjunction. There's been a lot of focus, especially so far, on the map and the zones, but equally they are obviously colouring in the map, but what are they colouring it in with? And then that matrix is the key. So we will have to get on to discussion about those site areas and minimum frontages, because we haven't actually made a council decision about that. Now, the current matrix is the Urban Planning Committee recommendation. So we will come back to that. Now, Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had a question for Mr. Kapner. Would it be fair to assume that what we decide on at this point in time is very much an interim solution and until the state government implement their plan for South Australia? And do we even have a remote understanding of the timeline of that interim status? Because we are investing quite a bit of money into making this change right now, and how long are we actually going to have it for?
Mr. Kapner.
Through His Worship, given that many councils, including the one where I've just come from, have been told by the Minister where there were current DPAs in the system, no more work to be done, Marion's actually quite fortunate that the Minister has said, within a restricted time frame, forge ahead and put to me some policies for the residential areas. The question about if we make a decision about the residential densities today or in the coming months, and then have that vetted by the Minister, will that change once we convert to the Planning Design Code? I can't be absolutely certain, but I would suspect that given that he's allowing this to progress, what he considers in his final sign-off of this DPA will convert to the Planning Design Code. And in many respects, in writing the policies for this DPA, we're extracting policies from the planning library. So that will still be a relevant thing in the Planning Design Code.
The Mayor actually said this in the committee one or two years ago, that in a sense we are the pioneers. If we get this right, it's actually a model which state might use in its code for councils more generally. Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, also just we've done some further work just on the costs as well, so just reference to the costs that Councillor Hutchinson made, and in the report that Council received we were estimating it up around the 90k, but we've been able to reduce the cost with the mail out working with our comms unit, so it's now sitting at 47. So,
And that's an issue we can address tonight. Now, I had Councillor Pryor next. Thanks.
Yeah, I just like to say I agree with the previous comments that we have the potential to cut the path here, and then all others can follow us. So, I mean, that's a great opportunity for us. But I guess my question is, what's the likelihood that if DIPTIL were to impose something on the City of Marion, they would drop the densities?
Through His Worship, I might answer that question by perhaps drawing some comparisons between the options, so the option 1, 2 and 3. So we will go out to public consultation and put forward the policies based on the option that's decided by the elected body. We'll then complete the analysis and review and submit that to the Minister. If our report to the Minister is not to the Minister's liking and DIPTI believe that it doesn't fit within the strategy for the 30-year plan, the Minister may not sign off on those policies. So we could do this body of work based on whatever option we proceed with, but if it's not to the Minister's liking, then it will not be introduced as policy. So that's why it's critically important to consider the policies as the three options strategically and have a think about how that fits within that 30-year plan for Adelaide. Now, Council will make decisions of their own mind as a body, But we do, in forging that path, need to be cognizant of that 30-year plan and how we fit, because we could go through this body of work, put forward the the DPA to the minister and not achieve the outcome. So it's an interesting process, and obviously, given the current climate, it's quite political and fitting with that resistance to density.
Just one thing, Mr. Katner, it's not exactly black and white, though, is it? Because the minister and the department, for that matter, might come back and say, look, we love your maps, we love your density criteria, but one thing we just can't handle is we think you need triple the density around the train stations. So we're going to insist on that. And they might take something else out and put something else in. So it might end up being an amalgam.
That is correct. So once we submit to the minister, he might decide that certain components of the DPA are controversial and don't meet what their strategy is. So they may pull those out but still keep others included. So it might be submitted as one DPA but then extrapolated certain components out.
And therein lies the profound political question. Why should we do, if we are, let's say, favouring that part of the community who wish to limit density in the internal part of suburbs, why should we double guess what they do? Why shouldn't we put up what the community wants and let someone else do the dirty work? I think that's what you're about to say, Councillor Pryor.
That's part of what I'm about to say. The other part is I didn't really get an answer to my question, which was, what's the likelihood that DIPTY is going to lower densities in our city?
Through his worship, not likely at all, to address the question.
And the question, or the answer that was given is exactly what I believe. It's unlikely.
Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Worship. I have what could be a bit of a dumb question. So I get zone changes. We've had a few of them in various DPAs over the years. I get all that. That's fantastic. That's really good. And I get the medium density and regeneration policy areas. What I don't get, and it's not, we don't actually spell it out in here either, is exactly what the proposed corridor and node zones actually mean. Like, that's just one bit that just hasn't quite clarified in my head yet, in terms of both side areas and frontages.
It's a very good point. Yes, that really should have been on the table, I would suggest. Ms. Hardy?
Through the Mayor, the reason it wasn't in the minimum site area or frontage table is because there is no minimum site area or frontage in the urban corridor zone or the suburban activity node zone. There is minimum densities to achieve, but there are no site areas as such. So in the suburban activity node zone around Westfield Marion, I believe we're looking at a minimum density of 70 dwellings per hectare, and then there are limitations on the height and building envelope of such buildings. So those zones are really looking to maximise development potential, and that has been subject to lengthy discussions at the Urban Planning Committee to really refine that policy. And that policy is based on the State Planning Policy Library. So those are modules that are likely to be carried over if and when the Planning and Design Code comes through.
And 70 per hectare, you're really talking apartment blocks, that sort of thing, aren't you?
Correct. So there would be a minimum building height in that area. So you would need to build at least two-storey and then the maximum of six. So certainly doesn't envisage low-density single-storey dwellings. They would no longer be allowed in those areas.
Councillor Pfeiffer? Councillor Westwood, then Councillor Hull.
If it wasn't for making decisions on that, I would be tempted to say we're wasting our time, let's just wait until the new system comes in. But because we do have to make decisions in DAP and it will affect what's actually built, I'd prefer to have the policy, some policy development that we've made, and hope that it goes through and we can use it before the new system eventually takes effect and they actually gel the policies in there.
Thanks. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, what you stated earlier, I hope, was a motion, because if it was, I'd second it. because it really captures everything that I think that we should be about. And if there is any bad news in regards to what the government ultimately sign off on, that it should be on their head, not on ours. You know, we cannot afford to ignore the community's wishes, and they've made that fairly clear over a long period of time. So, you know, I agree with you, and I will be supporting a motion to that effect. The question I have is, in terms of Lot 101, 707, 101, 707, I know there was some disquiet about what was being proposed there.
Councillor, I'll cut you off because you're talking Southern Innovation Area, Ministerial GPA, coming up next week's council meeting, not really covered by tonight's discussion. I'm totally with you, but it is on the agenda for next week.
If they can be taken on board, we'd like to know more about that.
Most definitely. It's going to come up big time next week.
Okay.
Councillors, I think we need to make some, or move towards making some decisions. We've been pretty fluid in the process already, but I think it would be helpful to suspend standing orders, to look at some specifics, and then we can formulate a motion to put. So moved, Councillor Valescu, to suspend. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So I think probably, and again, so we're in straw poll territory, but can I ask members, if you've got, and never mind the fact that rescission motions, anything else, let's just start again with that. If we've got the options 1, 2, 3, so there's the, you know, and I'm sorry it's the easiest way to make it clear, but as a result of what was moved by Councillor Pryor, option 2 is the Urban Planning Committee map, and option 3 is the staff recommendation map. We're going to consider those. Now, first, just a couple of questions. Why don't these maps show the southern part of the council? Ms Hardy.
Because tonight we're looking specifically at policy areas 12 and 16, and they are not located in the southern part of the council area.
So are you saying that whatever we decide here, there's no controversy as to the southern part?
Any of the three options here will not impact the southern part of the council area.
No, but what I'm saying is, are you ready, if we make a decision here, to at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, to write up the full map for the city? Or are you planning to come back to us and say, now, what would you like in the southern part?
I think we're confirmed on the southern part. The Urban Planning Committee considered an amended policy on the 1st of August, and we are ready to go ahead with that.
Well, that needs to form part of tonight's decision, so we just need to be mindful of that. How and where is that proposal before us tonight?
It isn't before you tonight because at the Urban Planning Committee on the 1st of August, we were asked to bring the issue of policy areas 12 and 16 here tonight. The remainder of the policy content was intended to be considered by Council when the DPA was endorsed for public consultation.
Can I just make the point without exploding that when I emailed Mr. Skull yesterday morning, I had two items on the agenda. One was authorising expenditure, the other was finalisation of the DPA. So that meant every aspect of the city. So how could we possibly not have that crucial bit of information? I think, Mr. Skull, you're really responsible, so why not?
My understanding, Mayor, is that we were anticipating this would be talking about zones 12 and 16 and the southern areas being decided. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I am correcting you because Council hasn't decided it. And we have to decide it tonight because of the very strict timeframes, and everybody in the room knows that. So I hope somebody can point us to the where we can find the answer to that, whether it be in the committee minutes or whatever.
Meeting and had agreement on the southern area, and so those minutes would come back to the 22nd of August and be ratified, and therefore they become the policy, just as the character of Area 13 would be ratified in that process on the 22nd of August.
Councillor Telfer is correct about what would normally happen if we hadn't had this meeting tonight and if we hadn't had the agenda for the meeting set to finalise the DPA tonight. Anyway, we have to work with what we have. Now, I've got one more question. As I said, I had two questions about the three maps. The other question is, I may have misunderstood this, but from one of the email exchanges with Ms Hardy in the last few days, as I understand it, each one of these options, even the option one, leads to a total more density in the northern part of the city. Is that right? Hardy?
I don't believe that's correct. We are looking at lowering densities throughout the northern policy area, which comprises a majority of the inner suburb areas throughout the northern part of the council area.
Right. So against the status quo, which of the three options decreases density overall and which of them increases density overall, if any?
The three options relate only to policy areas 12 and 16, which have a medium level of density. Option one, which was endorsed by council on the 25th, is certainly the lowest density option. Options two and three have the medium level of density in different areas. So you note with option three, the inner parts of Morfettville and Parkholm are removed from 12 and 16 zoning, whereas in option two, the areas around the regional centre zone, Westfield Marion, 12 and 16 have been removed from there. So to work out which is denser, it's just a different scenario in different locations.
Okay. What I'm going to do is ask if anyone has any questions about any specific part of the maps, but I've got a few questions to begin with. Councillor Pfeiffer, then Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I don't know if it's an actual perceived or whatever it is, but I am going to declare a conflict of interest and leave the meeting. My reason is because I live within the proposed corridor zone, and knowing that we're talking about abolition of site areas and frontages and going from having the capability to subdivide my property in two to subdivide it into four, I think that significantly conflicts me, and I would feel much more comfortable not being here.
As you were advised earlier, there is probably no need for you to leave the meeting, but having said that, it's an individual councillor's choice, and good night. It'll have to be noted in the minutes. Councillor Gard?
Before Councillor Pfeiffer leaves, if he would elect to do so on that basis, then I'm really in the same boat with a second property. My indirect... Yeah, but the property in question is on a main corridor, and so I just wonder if we were to both leave, did we then fall below the quorum? And looking at numbers six, is this just on quorum or just below?
As long as we have seven, we can continue to conduct business.
That's including chair?
Including the chair.
Why can't we just separate that bit out? So then the people can contribute to the debate for the whole of the city, and then when it comes to an area deciding that section, that they then leave. So we'll actually have quorum for everything.
Councillor Pfeiffer, at the moment we have standing order suspended. There's no motion before council at present.
Yeah,
anyway. It is Councillor Pfeiffer's choice, but the advice has been that there wouldn't be a problem, but it's each individual's choice. Okay. Councillor Garn?
I suppose I should draw a conclusion here that I would join Councillor Pfeiffer if it came to the corridor discussion at any stage. If it's general discussion, then I'm in the same bracket as the rest of us. We're all equally advantaged or not.
Councillor Gard, is it a zone in Glengarry which causes you concern?
Yes.
Because we could excise that.
It's a corridor property. Yeah.
So with a bit of careful manoeuvring, we can move motions which separate out that area.
Sure.
So, Councillor Gard, at the moment it's not affected.
That's right. I'm just taking a line through Councillor Pfeiffer's take on it, and I wouldn't want to be misconstrued that I'm in the same classification as he is.
Councillor Pfeiffer is known for his excessive caution, and I mean that as a compliment, but you've had the advice from the Governance Manager and the Chair, even though it is entirely your decision, that there is no problem for you remaining. Now, a question.
This does relate, Your Worship, to the maps themselves. This could actually be it may assist all members, or I hope it does, in terms of the rationales. And I just would like an explanation, if possible, from management on, if you look at option three, section 16 in particular, in the middle of the map, where the word Morfordville is, that, when compared with option two, is white on the staff recommendation. And I think this might actually, when put into words as to the rationale for why staff would see that as being able to go to what is ostensibly policy, Marion Plains policy, area rather than 16.
Councillor Gard, I can probably briefly answer. That is the Morfordville Housing Trust Home Renewal SA block of residential area that they want to redevelop. Staff recommend it be high density, in a word, which is the 16, and the other, is it the other two maps? No. It's just the option one leaves it as it is. That's why it remains white.
Yep.
So that it would only be Marion Plains under the Councillor Pryor map. I may need to stand correct. Ms Hardy?
On option three, that area is also in white. So staff recommendation was to remove that area, and that was in the agenda from the 25th of July General Council meeting. The rationale for that is that while that area has experienced a large amount of regeneration, it's not in proximity to any major activity centres, it's not in proximity to rail stations, so looking at good planning practices where you should be encouraging medium density housing near centres and public transport, it didn't fulfil that criteria, which was why it's not in staff's recommendation.
So I beg your pardon, it's only the UPC recommendation that has that particular block as high density.
And if I may just comment, Your Worship, on that, that that seems to be consistent. When you look at the suburb by suburb comments of planning, that does seem to be a consistency in their recommendation that it is desirable to have higher density where you have such facilities.
And that's what most councillors have been saying for most of the last 2 years.
Sure.
Councillor Pryor?
Just to comment on that, I believe that the UPC, if they got to addressing that block of 16, would have taken it out.
Okay.
So as
conjecture.
There's definitely conjecture about some of that mapping.
Okay. Councillor Hutchinson?
I just wanted to point out it is in the current plan. It wasn't something that the UPC put in there. It's in the current plan, as you can see on the first appendix there. And I think the justification for maintaining it was that there's a central bus route between those two green areas and then one on the border of Glengarry as well. So I think that was some of the light justification for it and the fact that the age of the housing stock and the condition and everything else.
Sure. Councillor Westwood.
If I haven't heard it often, or I haven't heard it often enough, can I ask Councillor Pryor which option he prefers and why? Because I believe he's gone into a bit of a study of it.
True.
I think you'll find it's option one. Councillor Pryor,
I prefer option one. For the simple reason that I don't believe we need the density around the place that the other options provide. I think that we should start with the lowest density benchmark, and Diptai is not going to lower the density at all. They'll quite happily encourage us to raise it, but they won't lower it. And if we want to put in an amendment later on to raise it, we can always do that. We can't put in an amendment to lower it later on.
Councillor Hutchinson.
That sounds like we're debating, but for the members' interests, I'd be supporting option two. And the reason why I'd do that is I believe that it provides more transition opportunities, particularly between the node urban corridor zones, rather. And you'll see that in the staff recommendation as well. And that's something that was discussed at the Urban Planning Committee. I think the option one is an oversimplification of the plan. And we've got to remember that a plan is not just a number on a page and it's easy because it's all one. The argument is always going to be around locality versus policy area. And we're already up against that now with developers who are saying, hey, that's in the same policy area. I want to achieve the same outcome as I did in a completely different suburb across the other side of the city. And then all we have to fall back on is locality. So I just want to point that out to you. And locality is strong enough to reject an application, as the development panel has certainly done. But at the same time, it's the argument that's going to be put up, and we're going to have to defend going forward. So I want members to consider that in it as well. But certainly, option one is from my point of view, is an oversimplification. We have different localities, and we do need transition between those up to six stories, mind you, down to the Marion Plains policy area. And I think it's important for members to really reflect on the minimum site areas and the frontages that are in there, because really we are playing with the fringes here in these areas. And certainly there is an overall increase no matter what way you look at it, because we're allowing all of these corridor zones. So to argue which one's worse or not, it's about what's appropriate. And I'm very strong about transition. If you're going to have a high density zone, you need to have appropriate transition back down to your broader densities. And that's how our current plan is set up. You look around Oakland's, the original plan here was that it cascades away from the shopping centre. That's the way our plan is currently structured. It made sense at the time. And that's what we're seeing now 15 years later, that, okay, now we're getting it, oh, we don't like it. And then we're getting people doing that outside of those zones. Well, yeah, I understand the concerns around that, because it's not an equal playing field for those people that want to do regen in Northern Policy Area 13. I agree. But when you have structure and you have a cascade effect, you're getting the right planning outcomes. And I think that's what both the Urban Planning Committee and staff recommendations were looking to achieve.
Now, what I was doing was seeing if anyone had any specific questions about specific sites, such as what Councillor Gard quite properly inquired, and then take a straw poll as to which of the three were preferred. But Councillor Telfer, before we do that, up to you.
Of the three options, I would support the option two, the Urban Planning Committee one, because a whole plan has the character areas, the Marion Plains 13 that we want to win because it is significant in its improvement throughout the city, and the Southern Plains area that is also a significant win in terms of 2 years' work. But I believe that if you put up option one, it won't get a Guernsey because you have to offer housing diversity, you have to offer interspace throughout, interface between high areas and lower areas throughout our city. So that's where I'm at.
Let's just put our hands up. This is not a proper vote, just a straw poll. Options one, two, or three. So just a reminder, they increase in density with each option. Those for option one, two, three. Okay, so there's no absolute majority, but there are more with one than two or three. Well, I think in terms of formulating a motion, I think we have to work with option one. People can always move amendments. I really want to turn to the site area. Oh, first of all, I should say, if anyone was waiting for the business plan report from general managers, we're not going to get to it, so free to go if anyone wishes to. Councillor Valesco, what's your point before we get to that? Sure.
When we bring in the stuff up before, people look confused and we're shaking their heads. I want some clarity on that. I think it was about the process. But I also want to know, as far as staff go, which of these do they think will reduce the issues we have with parking, on-street parking, and clustering of subdivisions that cause a whole lot of problems in regards to parking, and later on would be issues with stormwater. So I want to know, out of these three options, which ones would be, how they would be affected.
Who's got that one? Ms. Hardy, thank you.
In terms of your second question, option one would provide the best mitigation of impacts associated with on-street car parking and stormwater, simply because it is the lowest density option. The minimum site dimensions, as you'll see in the tables in front of you, in policy areas 12 and 16 are less than in the new Marion Plains policy area. So that means that new dwellings will generally have a smaller frontage than they would in the Marion Plains, which leaves less space available for on-street car parking. In terms of the first question about the confusion raised at the last General Council meeting, no?
Can you be more specific, Councillor?
Regards to the process with the, because there's not the south and stuff, I just want some clarity there, because I think people wanted to say something and they didn't, so I know.
I certainly had my say, so would staff like to respond further? And Mr. Skull and Ms. Hardy had their say as well, but Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, I suppose from staff understanding, the process was the minutes were coming to Council from the Urban Planning Committee, and then those changes will be brought to Council's consideration in the whole DPA, which will occur on the 12th of September. So that's where there's, I think, was some confusion, and our understanding tonight, as Ms. Hardy said, was to focus on the Northern Plains area policy.
Was probably nothing controversial in the southern area. There probably was the expectation that we would be dealing with everything, and that's where it seems that there's been that misunderstanding.
Yes, all I can say is that this is the email that I sent to Adrian to request a special general council meeting. So it was sent at 9:16 yesterday morning. Request a special general meeting to be called for tomorrow, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Agenda, finalisation of housing diversity DPA and authorisation of any necessary expenditure for completion of same and for the required community consultation. So that's why I found it difficult to understand why staff thought that finalisation of housing diversity DPA didn't include consideration of the southern suburbs. Right. Now, let's look at minimum site areas. So I think, Councillor Westwood?
A question. Are these less than 1 in 10? Sorry, is that in the incline of the block or something?
It's
or
the incline. Less than 1 in 8 for most of them, but yes, 1 in, etc. It's the incline.
It is.
Okay. So to the intent is greater flexibility to subdivide on the flatter areas and less flexibility on the steepest areas, which is kind of sensible. What I suppose I could ask Mr. Catanar to go through the minimum site areas and minimum frontage widths to explain for each zone might take a few minutes, but just briefly, what is the impact on density and, in other words, capacity for subdivision for each zone? And members will note that it's the 12, 13 and 16, probably Southern Hills, that are the most important. But Mr. Catanar, if you could just give us a briefing, what does each zone actually mean?
Through your worship, just to confirm, we're talking about policy areas 13, 12, 13 and 16 in particular, or...
Yes, certainly do that, and also talk about the Southern Hills or the new southern zones, and then members can ask if they want to inquire about any others. I suppose telling us how to read the table in a sense, and what is the bottom line in terms of capacity for subdivision.
Your Worship, can I just interject?
Briefly.
Just to give Mr. Cadner a bit more time to look at the document, 12 and 16 are unchanged. The policy areas are unchanged. So they're exactly the same. So you're only really asking to talk about...
Let Mr. Catanar answer the question. Thank you.
Through his worship, so that is correct. 12 and 16 remain unchanged, but to talk through the changes specifically relating to number 13, policy area 13, the existing site area for a detached dwelling is 375. It's being proposed at 350 square metres, so a change of 25 square metres reduction. For semi-detached dwellings, we're looking at an increase from 320 square metres to 350 square metres. For row dwellings, we're also looking at an increase from 250 to 300 square metres. Also an increase for group dwellings, that's 300 to 350 square metres. And same again for residential flat buildings, 300 to 350. So the only site area which will be reducing is for detached dwellings.
Briefly, while the Mayor's talking, I think it's important to remember that it's about where we've placed these policy areas by comparison to what we have now, and that's how you're getting the reduction. It's not just, oh, is that box coloured on this map versus this option? It's about, okay, what do we have currently and what are we moving to on that table? So it's not the fact that nothing's changed.
Thank you, Mr. Catanar. Please keep going.
I also think that if you really wanted to ask that question, we should have had the density maps in front of us as well, the uplift maps, to show that what properties are actually developable across these areas, because that's the only way you can see the true uplift.
Believe me, I sought to have the maximum amount of information at this meeting made available. But Mr. Catanar?
Sorry, to continue on, so I'm just trying to understand if that was a question from Councillor Hutchinson or to carry on with...
No, he was helping you, so please carry on.
Thank you. So in terms of the frontage widths, so we've gone through the site area changes for policy area 12. Now the frontage widths to go through for detached dwellings is currently 10. It will remain at 10. For semi-detached dwellings, currently at 9, it will stay at 9. Row dwellings, 7, will stay at 7. Group dwellings, 18, remains at 18. And residential flat buildings will remain at 18, as it currently is.
So, Mr. Catanar, what we're after, really, it's not reading the table, but what are the implications for subdivision in each of those key zones?
through His Worship, it is overall a reduction in terms of the potential to divide land. I think quite rightly, unless we had a map which you could put little yellow dots on those properties that fit the site area criteria to do certain levels of division, it's a bit difficult to describe that. It's better used as a visual tool.
And that is true in the north, but it's not true in the south, is it? There is increased capacity for subdivision.
That is correct, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Can you give us the most accurate account you can? We're trying to get a visual, but can you just give us the best account you can of the changes to the southern part of the council?
The southern, there is quite a substantial change, Cement Hill Policy Area 10 and Hills Policy Area 11. In particular, in reference to Hills Policy Area 11, with respect to the gradients, are you looking at allotments with a greater than 1 in 5 slope? Currently the minimum area is 1,100 square metres. That's falling all the way down to 400 square metres. 1 in 10 to 1 in 5, so that's, I guess, the mid-range, is going from 900 to 400. And for those allotments that are 1 in 10, you're looking from a reduction from 700 to 450. So I guess it's a complete wholesale change and a doubling of the potential residential density in those southern areas.
And Mr. Katner, we have a visual now. So you're really talking about a zone which covers, you could say, all of the established areas of the south, apart from, looks like, virtually the South Bank subdivision and a couple of odd bits.
That is correct.
So just to summarise, if it's really steep, you still won't be able to subdivide, but... No, sorry, Ms. Hardy's shaking her head, so can you add something to that?
If the site is really steep, the minimum site dimension goes up to 350 or 400 square metres. It doesn't mean that you would not be able to subdivide.
So is that more or less than what it is now?
Less.
So greater subdivision, even on the steep areas, but not as much as on the relatively flat.
Okay. Through His Worship, as a general rule of thumb, through those policy areas, you're looking at least a 50% increase, potentially 60% increase.
Well, the lights are they're all lighting up here on the switchboard. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Cadena, if we did go with option one, which is what we've already moved on, wouldn't the staff be able to get around that by just increasing what is defined as not a significant variance and life school? Would that not be the case?
Assessments, Mr. Cartner. What do you say?
Through His Worship, the planning assessment is an on-balance assessment. So each site or each application is determined on its individual context and merits relevant to the policy.
Jack shit what we say tonight. The staff want to do what they want to do.
Councillor, we can retain decorum and make the point. And indeed, I can tell you that yesterday I made the same sort of point with Mr. Katner, but probably much more elegantly. So he's aware of the feeling among some members that where there's a grey area, it tips a bit toward pro-development. So I think I was representing you on that occasion. There's probably no need to respond, just take it as a rhetorical question and verging on rudeness. But Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, just to clarify that tiny little strip of white at the bottom of Merino, I think depicts the very hilly area to the south of Gervois Terrace. So that would not receive any change of policy area classification, would it? That's going to be as is. That's one area that it doesn't matter about your land size or anything. It will be as currently stands.
Hardy?
Yep, so only the areas shown in pink on that map have been identified for a change in policy. If they are left in white, it's likely that they're in a different zone, potentially the hill space zone, maybe.
I just thought, for the matter of record, if it could be confirmed that it is to the south of Gervois Terrace, that white piece. I think that's. I don't think there's any mystery there, but just for the record, if we could.
anyone with a greater sense of geography. Mr. Tokley.
Thank you, Your Worship. I believe the area in white, yeah, that would be part of the Merino Conservation Park, so it would be zoned conservation. So all of the pink area in that part of Merino is all of the current residentially zoned area of Merino. So Jervis Terrace, right next to where the second bus stop is, train station, sorry, yep, pretty much. Can you picture that?
Yeah, just under the 11, is it?
Correct. Yeah.
So my mistake, it is the whole Merino. I think at one stage we were looking at a different treatment for the more southern part of Merino, but so we can safely say that the Merino will be treated the same throughout from that. Yep.
Yes, that's what Mr. Togley's just said, the residential area, of course. Councillor Pryor, I think. Next.
Yeah, mine was just a quick point of clarification with Mr. Kavanagh that the Northern Plains Marion zone, the frontages do change. Like they, rather than being 10-10, 9-9, 7-7, 18-18, they're 12-10, so the proposed is now 10. We did just skip the line. So do you still think that did you still come to the same conclusion about the density given those frontages?
Sorry, through your worship, I must thank Mr. Councillor Pryor for pointing that out. I was reading from medium density policy area 12 earlier, so thank you. I can go through those now. So Northern Marion Plains policy area, there is a reduction to detached dwellings from 12 to 10, an increase for semi-detached dwellings from 9 to 10, road dwellings increases from 7 to 9, group dwellings remain unchanged at 20, and residential flat buildings remain unchanged at 20. So thank you for pointing that out. And apologies for that oversight.
And conclusion about impact on subdivision?
In terms of the impact on division, again, that will make division more restrictive. So again, a site will need to have certain depth, width, etc., to meet the criteria for division, which is now increased from what it currently is.
So you see, Mr. Kavanagh, all of the councillors are trying to be helpful. They just expressed themselves differently and tried to lead you to different conclusions. Councillor Hutchinson, are you next? You're done? What I want to ask you, since we're still in suspension, so to speak, does anyone want to rip anything out of that? I mean, the Urban Planning Committee's been through these tables pretty well. So most of those of us who were on the committee probably happy with it. Would anyone like to raise some exceptions? Councillor Westwood.
Just overall, so I mean my understanding of these tables, which I would have liked to have for a little bit longer, is that really it's raising the potential or has the potential to increase density. Is that about right, generally?
Increasing in the south and decreasing in a lot of the north would be a fair summary. Mr. Kavanagh? Yes? So you got that, Mr. Councillor Westwood? Yep. So increasing a lot the density capacity in the south, but decreasing it somewhat in the north, except around the shopping, the Westfield and the transit lines, because that has a special zone which has a minimum density and up to six stories. Ms. Hardy, you happy with that answer as well? Yep. So, Councillor Hutchinson?
Well, the only point I was going to make, because I think Councillor Pryor or yourself were leading to the fact that there is a reduction in frontage, and the reason for that was the Urban Planning Committee recognised that under the residential code, detached dwellings will be assessed under semi-detached, and therefore you want to try and have that equilibrium so that you're matching that so you can avoid discrepancies between the two.
It's a technical point, but you're not dying in the ditch over that, basically. Okay. Well, what I'm saying to staff is that this table should actually be moved as part of the, or included in the motion as an appendix, that we're approving the minimum site areas and minimum frontage widths as in appendix whatever. Please tell me, someone, what it will be. A motion, I'll just mention now, is approving that funding. It's there in the table. This is for applying consultants the next few weeks and also the community consultation process. So at least it gets that out of the way and is a sign to staff that we are saying, please continue. So I'm just after help. Sorry, Ms. Dixon wants to add something about that. Yep.
Through the chair, and apologies, we didn't realise you were going to resolve the funding for the resources. What we would recommend, so in the presentation we had the 47,000, but there will be some additional consultancy costs for the design of the promotional material, which we estimate around 10,000. So we would recommend that you do the funding up to 60,000.
It's not an issue for such, for a once in a generation change. It's fairly minor. Thank you. Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I just wanted to try and help with the issue of the south not being covered in this motion.
Oh, it will be.
I guess by default it is, isn't it?
Councillor Pryor's map, the option one, only covered the north. So what we would need also, and I thank you for stressing the point, Councillor Gard, but a motion adopting the Urban Planning Committee recommendations as to, and then what would we say, southern something or other zone? Can someone help me with the wording? Because, I mean, in all honesty, I think it's been fairly enough explained.
Sure.
And we've seen the map. And by saying that we're adopting that recommendation, it's shorthand for saying, yes, we will take that on. But while staff are looking at that, Councillor Guy? Yep.
My only suggestion would have been, if you see it necessary, would be to mention a document that has already passed. It may not be tabled tonight, but it was previously accepted, that included the south, if that's of any help.
Oh, well, I think this is the latest iteration that's come out of the Urban Planning Committee. So if Ms. Hardy is happy that it's accurate, I think we can be pretty happy about it. Councillor Pryor?
Firstly, do we need a resolution for extension of time tonight, or are we okay to go on?
No, because technically I think we're in a special general council meeting without a time limit.
Yeah, okay. I've got a question for Ms. Hardy when she's ready.
Should we say, it was actually Appendix 1, wasn't it? appendix is 5 tonight, is it?
It's appendix 2 to 5, but to be explicit, we probably should include 16 and 12, yeah, with regards to Marion policy, Plains Policy Area 13, or Policy Areas 13, 12 and 16, and then that's explicit, I think, given what we move tonight.
Yes, for the moment, if you delete or one. Well, you know, why don't we just note the resolution? Because for the purpose of tonight, that's all we need to do. Notes though, but I'm just suggesting, for the sake of completeness, if we add zones 12 and 16 to that first paragraph. Ms. Hardy knows what I'm talking about. They've each got different names, of course. So I'll take a note from Councillor Westwood, then I'm about to resume standing orders. Councillor Westwood?
No, not just before you do. would you mind, unless I've missed something, taking the straw poll on how many are actually happy with this minimum side areas and frontages? Generally not.
But... Well, Councillor Westwood, I won't, because nobody raised any specific objections other than... a clarification from Councillor Hutchinson.
Well, I'm raising a query.
Okay.
On that, that's all.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It's just that I think that this leads to more density and smaller blocks, etc.
Only in the south, essentially, along the tram lines in the north.
Yeah, but I don't want to see 10-metre frontages in the area that I live in, particularly, unless people want to do it, the majority agree.
That's a fair question.
The straw poll, straw poll?
Can I put it this way? Has it gone too far in the south?
I would say so.
Yeah, all right, put your hand up if you think so. Members, straw poll.
Okay. Oh, well, that's three.
Now we're in whole of council. Who thinks it has not gone...
Sorry?
Who thinks... Order. Who thinks it is satisfactory as set out in table? Members? Okay.
Oh, okay,
so it's
okay.
Sort of a 4-3 thing.
All right.
Now, anything else before I resume
just
standing
one
orders?
Question from Ms. Hardy.
Councillor Pryor?
It's just a question of refreshing my memory about road dwellings. We talked about road dwellings only adjacent open space. Is that been taken off the table for Policy Area 13, or was that just in... another policy area?
Sorry, could you clarify that in policy area 13?
We talked about during the course of the Urban Planning Committee putting only allowing row dwellings adjacent public open space. What happened to that?
Yeah, that through the Mayor, that was replaced with the whole-scale changes to the Northern Policy Area. So you'll recall that originally we were only looking at discrete localities for the proposed Marion Plains Policy Area, and then we presented two options to the Urban Planning Committee in what I believe was April this year. We decided to go ahead with the whole-scale changes to the Northern Policy Area. By that change, the minimum site areas for row dwellings were increased, which was thought to be sufficient to limit that type of development to appropriate sites. It wasn't considered necessary to put an additional restriction on being adjacent to open space.
That's a problem. Don't worry. They'll let it through anyway.
Thank you. That's what I wanted on the record. Cheers.
Well, I think we're in a position. We can move and everyone's free to amend if they want to. Councillor Pryor, to move.
I would like to move as written, I believe. And that is...
There's been plenty said. Do you want to summarise? Enough said?
Not at the moment.
All right. Seconded. Just making sure you're happy with the motion.
It is Appendix 3 in the documentation, not Appendix 1.
It's option 1. Option 2 refers to the table of sites and frontages. So that's going to become Appendix 1 to the minutes, not the report tonight.
Oh, okay, sure.
And motion one actually now refers back to what happened at the last General Council, which happens to be option one, but we don't need to go into the report to get that. All right, moving as is. Is that seconded? No, Councillor Pryor, last call?
Yeah, no, I can talk after a second, if that's just briefly.
Yeah, fair enough. Is there a seconder? Councillor Hull. So, Councillor Pryor, you wish to speak?
Yeah, just very quickly. Look, I think this is an aggressive stance in Marion. I think it definitely reflects the community desires. I think it also gives us the possibility for growth in the future, whereas I think some of the other policy areas maybe limit our growth. And in particular, some of the higher density zones, you kind of can't come back from those. They're counterproductive to the result that we want in our city, where you start saying we want to encourage higher density, we want an amalgamation of blocks. We don't want people to come in and axe blocks up into smaller blocks. And then anyone who wants to amalgamate blocks in the future has to buy three times as many blocks. And so that's where a lot of this is going, with a mind for the future and also a mind for the current requirements of density. And I believe we cover them.
Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I second it with some reluctance. I'm content in terms of potential benefits for the north, but I've actually gone along with this up until now because the south councillors seem to, and that come from the previous council as well, wanted more density in the south. However, I don't know whether they fully understand what they've actually sought, because a lot of those roads down there are quite narrow, and some of them are cul-de-sacs, some of them roads that literally go nowhere, and sometimes you have one way in, one way out. And our experience in the north is that you have more density, you have more cars parked on the road. That's already been mentioned tonight. However, it does seem as if that's what the South Ward Council, at least most of them anyway, want, but I suspect there may be a consequence for that. But I've got to deal with the cards that are in front of me, and in terms of the cards, the three cards that I have, this is the best card out of the three. I will say this much, that I may have been viewed as being rude before, but I'm only expressing a strong sentiment from the community about the overuse of the tool of not at significant variance to get an outcome that is an abhorrent outcome for the community. And regardless of the recommendation to the government about what's best for our community, if our council is actually going to take liberties with how long is a piece of string in terms of not at significant variance, we're still going to have adverse outcomes in any part of the city for that matter. And I guess that's a matter for us to take up later. But the trouble is, every time the council does apply this latitude with their judgment, it sets a precedent. It sets a legal planning precedent of what has happened in the street or what has happened in the area. And a lot of damage has already been done through taking those liberties. When I first came on this council, Mr. Mayor, it was a lot tighter. And I remember the objection raised by Councillor Senior, who used to sit over there, announcing to the council, would you believe they've actually allowed a development up at Seacon Gardens where you can step from one roof to the other? Well, now it's commonplace. And, you know, I've seen an erosion of values in terms of planning over the years, and a lot of it is I lay at the feet of not at significant variance, not necessarily on the government and on the development plan.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Gard.
I am speaking against the motion, but in so doing, I acknowledge that a great deal of thought and sincerity has gone into the compilation of the options associated with this motion, the motion that was actually carried at the last meeting also supported that concept. I do feel, though, that in going against the motion, what we're looking for is something that is more detailed and complete. It's a roadmap that can be stringently followed in planning. To me, there is a good trade-off. The staff have been prepared. I'm not promoting particularly the staff, but it's one I personally believe is the right concept, where we've struck a balance. But I think it's important, though, to delineate where we are quarantining development and where we are preserving what we want to preserve. And I think there's something in this for everybody, to coin a phrase. I'd also underline the fact that the staff concept has, I call it a concept, but it's probably the wrong word, but the staff option, is sensitive to the fact that we want to get people out of their cars. We talk a lot about there's going to be too many cars in streets, so on and so forth, but we want to get people out of their cars, walking to the shops, on the basis if you don't use it, you lose it, and I'm certainly at that age now where I just have to get out of the car if I want to live longer. So it's a case of where are our cities going, where are our transport routes, where are our shopping centres, where are our open spaces, and plan accordingly so that now people will be able to make a choice. I'll say, well, look, we don't want to live in an area where there are such facilities. We want to live where there's more space. Well, that's there for them too. So I'm looking for balance, and I'm looking for preciseness, not simplicity and not continuity. I'm looking for preciseness in planning, and so that's why I can't accept the alternative that we have if I were to vote in the affirmative tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. I just want to point out to you that each of the three options tonight have those grey lines around Westfield, Oaklands Station, and in fact the major transit routes. All three have that in common, and all three allow high density development, just for information. Is anyone speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Blesky.
Look, I'm speaking in favour of one and three, Your Worship, it would be great to be able to vote on these individually, each section. I think that we probably...
Councillor, just while you're talking, would you like to move an extension of time until the item is resolved?
Yeah, if I can, that would be great. Yeah, move an extension of time.
Accept that. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Please carry on.
Okay. I think we've seen where high densification not done properly has caused problems in the northern area, in fact, the areas that I represent. And I'd be a little bit low for the same thing to happen in the hills area. Now, I am in a substantial class in the hills area, so I don't think I've got a conflict of interest, and definitely my position is contrary to a financial benefit. I think we really need to be careful because the southern suburbs haven't been designed in the same way, and I think we need to take a little bit more care in our promotion of regeneration and a little bit of extra density. So I don't support Southern Hills 11. I think that's problematic. I guess that is going to come to council, isn't it?
No. At the moment, the motion has those... remember, it covers virtually all the residential area of the southern suburbs, except for perhaps the South Bank development, residential development. Yeah. Hmm? No. If members want to alter those that relaxation of restriction in the southern suburbs, then the appropriate thing would be an amendment to the table, probably, to restore some of those frontages and or site areas for the relevant zones. The staff can help with that. So while you've got the call, do you want to do something about that? Sure. Who would like to advise? Mr. Petnar? Ms. Hardy?
Through His Worship, if I understand the chain of events correctly, the resolution tonight could endorse amendments to Appendix 1, being the frontage and site areas, specifically in relation to those southern policy areas. The difficult task ahead of staff would be changing that table, presenting that to Council at its meeting on the 11th of September for endorsement. But there's potential that would be debated and discussed and potentially delay the Council resolution, which would further impact that timeline which we put to members earlier.
Mr. Katnar, what's the prospect of coming up with some numbers tonight which would be a compromise between the current situation and the southern zones, relaxation of restrictions, which are in the table as we speak? In other words, Councillor Vlescu's looking for some guidance. I'm not sure if how much he wants to do it tonight, but if he wanted to move an amendment now, would you be able to suggest some appropriate figures, which would be, a compromise between the current plan and the Urban Planning Committee recommendation?
Through Your Worship, if the members would be seeking to achieve rather than a doubling of the existing density, but say a 50% increase, then the rationale would dictate that we have a reduction from 1,100 to 400 to increase that to 6 or 650, with frontage widths increasing from 12 to probably 16, 15, 16. but without analysing the map data, I couldn't exactly determine whether or not those numbers directly relate to a 50% rather than a doubling of the density or a 50% increase of the density. But as a rough figure, that would be approximate. But
Councillor, the other option for you, of course, is to move to adjourn it to next Tuesday. But there is that danger in terms of the time restrictions. But anyone can obviously do that. Yes, Ms. Hardy.
I'd just like to note that if you are looking to amend the site dimensions in the new Southern Hills area, it is replacing the cement hill policy area, the hills policy area, and the southern 18. So if you were to increase the figures to something like 600 across the new Southern Hills policy area, that would have very different implications for the existing policy areas that it's going to replace. So for example, if it went to 600 in the previous Southern policy area 18, it would be replacing site areas which are currently 250 to 420 square metres, so significantly limiting development in that area, which is against the intentions of the Urban Planning Committee, to my understanding.
I think I'm getting to the point where I'm admitting defeat. I've tried to take council through this with the lack of information provided by staff, but I'm starting to doubt that we can safely do it. Councillor Bliscu, what would you like to do? You have the call.
Council next week?
It's up to you or up to this group what comes to council next week.
Okay. Because I was under the impression from the discussion earlier that the southern part was going to come to us. But I'm happy to take clarification.
Yes, that was what staff were planning to do.
Yeah.
So even though the agenda was to finalise the whole DPA tonight,
yep,
staff were planning to bring that component to us next week.
Yep.
That's correct.
Okay.
Take that as a procedural motion that we vote on each aspect separately.
Yes.
Is that seconded, Councillor Westwood? So now we are just looking at Manager of Governance has a question.
I just wanted to confirm, are you doing that through leave of the meeting or are you doing that through an actual mover and a seconder?
I took it formally as a procedural motion that we will address each of the three proposals separately. Sure, well, that's been seconded. And... Sorry, did we fail? All right. It's fairly obvious what that means. We just vote on each of the three questions separately. So, and if we have leftovers, we have leftovers. Is that procedural motion agreed to? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. So, it's an unusual situation. In effect, we're doing this instead of an amendment, but it means that we're now just, I think the most appropriate procedure is just to deal with the first motion. So ignore two and three, and we will vote at the end of, that's consistent with what was moved and seconded, partially. So we are just dealing with the first motion or paragraph, which is essentially noting what we did at the last meeting. So, Councillor Valescu, the call's still with you. I'm still treating it as... I don't know, I'm asking Manager of Governance's opinion. Maybe we should just start again.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether the mover and seconder want to formally withdraw, because it has formally been moved. And so it is a live motion. It's on the table. So the question is, how do we want to deal with that current motion that is actually sitting there?
So if the mover and seconder withdraw second and third paragraphs for now, then we get to the same result, which I think people want to do anyway. You happy to do that?
Yeah, that's fine.
The direct opposite, I will concur.
You're concurring. So do the movers... Is leave granted for the second and third paragraphs to be withdrawn? Anyone object? Leave is granted. So we are dealing with the same motion. Councillor Valescu has the call. We're just dealing with item one.
I'm happy with that.
Any other speakers? Councillor Telfer.
I speak against the motion. I still feel strongly that the plan option one that you have before, with only the main roads with high density and then a whole blanket Northern Plains or Marion Plains 13, is inappropriate. I think in planning there are several things that have to happen, but incrementally change has to happen gently. I don't see getting rid of 16 and 12 as policy areas a gentle shift in planning. I see it quite sledgehammerish. I believe the interface with the high areas that we have taken on board, it is appropriate to have policy areas 12 and 16 in place. So I can't go along with this.
I've moved and seconded. So I've just... Councillor Westwood, are you speaking? Yeah, sure. You have the call, yes?
Can I just ask staff, so option one would tend to be less dense developments for the time being? Thank you. That's a yes. Thank you very much.
It only deals with the northern part of the city. Correct. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm speaking against this motion. No surprise, given my earlier statements around the transition, and Councillor Telfer also echoed that as well. Members, I think the Urban Planning Committee was established to be entrusted to do the assessment and look at the maps, particularly around what density would be looking for uplift or decrease. If it was changed, I'm sorry, I'm being distracted here. If members took the time to go through their minutes of the Urban Planning Committee, they too could have had a read through and made their own assessment prior to coming here and trying to make policy on the run. And that really concerns me that we're now at this point, such a late stage, and suddenly don't agree with certain elements and haven't taken that into account earlier. And we've been adopting these minutes meeting after meeting at General Council, and they obviously haven't been fully understood. The other point I'd like to make is in the previous motion on the 25th of July, it was quite opportune that a section of policy area 17 in the Oaklands estate area was also included in the motion to deliberately exclude it from any uplift along that side of the rail tracks. Now, that is a key area that I've felt very strongly about. It's in a prime location for uplift, and it's also got a shopping centre, it's got facilities, it's got transport. So for that to be deliberately included at that point, I felt was policy on the run as well. So going forward, I hope Council really considers its view at the next general meeting, because we don't want to be in this situation again where we're just creating things on the run. We haven't considered all the information that's available beforehand, at least, if not provided on the night. So I'm still not happy with the Oaklands estate being excluded. I think that the Urban Planning Committee did assess it, and I think the jury was still out between members of the Urban Planning Committee, and now here it is again. It was listed on the 25th of July as being maintained as a character zone, which is just ridiculous.
Can I raise a point of order, please?
Yes, Councillor.
The point of order is that that Oaklands estate was dealt with as a completely separate part of the motion on the night, so that wasn't actually included in any of this debate. And it's actually not coloured
in. There's no point of order. Councillor Hutchinson's entitled to be fairly free-ranging since he's dealing with all of the northern parts of the city. No, Councillor Hutchinson, you finished?
Yep.
It's now for Councillor Pryor to reply and close the debate.
Okay, I'll close up with part of that anyway. Look, the Oaklands estate was dealt with on the night. That was dealt with as a completely separate motion, that remain a character area, and I believe that was passed by a fairly strong majority. So I can't comment as to why. Well, I didn't include it in the map. I didn't include any other character areas in the map either. They were not listed as changing to policy area 13. They were just left as policy area 17. The other thing about the diversity, I did some work, and I don't have it with me tonight, but I did some work looking at the diversity of our city and how it's changed over time, and it's actually getting worse under our current plan. We're actually seeing less sales of two-bedroom houses post-2003 than we did pre-2003. Now, you can take that analysis with as much salt as you want, but it's not conclusive. It's just a general idea. I think in order to look at the zoning down south, that's really distracting from the thrust of this. The zoning down south is not up for debate in this plan, this part of the plan. All three are the same, so I don't think that's a reason to knock this on the head either. So the last point I want to make is if anyone's thinking of voting on what Diptai may say about our plan, I really would like to tell them what we want to see in our city and for them to come back to us with an amendment, because that gives us all the rights in the world to then go to our community and say, this is what we put up as a plan and this is what the department came back to us with. And that's a really important point from my perspective. I don't want to be someone who just puts up something that we know is going to pass. And the fact of the matter is that we are raising our density significantly along our travel corridors. Significantly. And we have enough places to live. Of this, I'm sure. Thank you.
I'll put the motion that we note the 25th of July resolution. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, carried by majority. Now we move on to division as called by Councillor Westwood. Is it? Who was that? Councillor Hutchinson. Okay. A lot of similarities. So those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Pryor, Hull, Westwood and Valescu. Those against are Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson and Gard. Please sit down. Now we're after someone to move, if they wish, the second item, and of course it's open for you to move in an amended form if you so wish. So this specifically picks up those proposals about it does two things. It's the maximum and minimum site areas, and it includes the coverage of most of the residential area in the southern hills, or southern part of the city.
So would someone like to move it as is, or move something different, or move something amended? Councillor Telfer?
I'll move that the matter be deferred until the 22nd of August so that all documentation is presented at the time that the urban planning minutes are presented on this matter.
Typed up. I'll just check, is that seconded? Councillor Hull? Order. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to say something more about it? I think most members would probably agree with
that. I think in terms of coherent planning, it's important that all material is available for you.
Councillor Hull, quickly.
Two South councillors are on holidays, not knowing that there was a special council meeting tonight, and I think it would be better to have all hands on deck, or as many hands on deck as we can, about a matter that relates specifically to the territory they represent.
I think you'll find they'll both be absent next Tuesday as well, but I can say that Councillor Crossland has had a very strong input into the policy, which is the one that's in the table right now. But that's a matter that on record in the committee. Any debate? Though, sorry, that was hold for a second. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against? That's carried by majority. Division is called by Councillor Westwood. Those in favour of the deferral, please stand. They are. Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Hull, Councillor Valescu and Councillor Gard. Those against the deferral, a man in a hurry, Councillor Westwood. The proposal for funding to enable the process to move forward is before you. Councillor Valescu to move as printed. Councillor Pryor, seconded. Anyone speaking against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Carried by majority. That ends the business of the meeting. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you. See you next Tuesday.